UWA-517, do you want to report a UFO?
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merge 1095. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Do we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
County dispatch. Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls.
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
All right, take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com. Hello and welcome to the show, everyone, wherever in the world you are joining us from tonight. Our guest this episode is John from South Wales in the UK, and he will be sharing his witness account of a UFO landing back in 2010. And apart from this experience, he will be talking about some of the other things he has observed on a regular basis. But first, if you enjoy the show and you would like to help support the podcast on Patreon, you can do this for as little as $1 a month. Head on over to www.patreon.com/UFO Chronicles Podcast. You can also find a link in the description of this episode below. Any help is very much appreciated. Now, on with the show. Welcome to the show, John.
Thanks, Nick.
Thank you for coming on today. Calling from Monmouthshire in Wales, UK.
Yeah, that's right. I'm just outside Monmouthshire. I live in a little place called Raglan.
Just an hour away from me. Now, John, you saw a UFO land in 2010. Would you like to take us back to the very beginning, please, John?
Yeah, okay. So I was living down in a place called Landymore, which was on the North Gower coast, just by Swansea. On the Langore estuary. I'm on the hillside next to the Langore estuary, basically. On the opposite coastline, you have Llanelli and Burryport. So it's the 7th of October in 2010. That was a Thursday. And it was the time was between 8 and 9 in the evening. I'd been working. My wife was now upstairs having a shower. I'm downstairs in the TV room with my daughter, who was 2 at the time. And I'm looking after her, basically. And all of a sudden, my daughter goes over to the conservatory window. She's pointing out. Remember, she's only 2, but she says bright. So I walk over and I take a look. And my neighbor has tennis courts. And to the right of the tennis courts, he had a large tree. And right next to this tree, I'm looking at an object that was about the size of a transit van, a large transit van. It was the color of the sun, looked just like a sun, basically. So it's in the dark and there's a sun. And I'm thinking, what the hell's going on now? So I'm looking at this thing, thinking, trying to make it, you know, understand what it is. And I couldn't understand what it is. It's very, very bright, but it wasn't hurting my eyes. And then just as I'm thinking, what is this? It shoots to the right at the speed that if I'd blinked, I would have missed it. You hear people talking about the tic-tac speed. And this was the, you know, blink and you miss it type speed. This was exactly that. There was no noise. I did have the window shut that time, but I didn't hear any noise because it was windy. I didn't have the windows open or anything. So it shot to the ground and I'm thinking this thing has crashed, but there's no explosion. And all I can see now is the orange light on the ground. And then it starts changing colours. So these massive flashes of colours, like a lighthouse type of brightness, directly at me, it seemed to me, all different types of colours, about five or six different colours. So I'm thinking, what the hell is this? Just as I'm thinking that and trying to make head or tail of what's going on, I noticed there's another object that has appeared directly opposite me and directly opposite this object that has landed in the skies between Burryport and Llanelli. Now, this thing is like white and it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger, coming towards me, coming in slowly, and then it just stops directly opposite. It's got quite large now. It's not as big as what you see as a full moon, but not far off. So I continue watching, and this is going on. And then I go over to the window, open the window. I thought I'd better see if I can hear anything. So I opened the window. I couldn't hear a thing. And then I start hearing what sounds like a Chinook helicopter, a very distinctive sound of a Chinook. You know, double rotor helicopter coming in, and that's coming from the north, which north of the estuary. And I can see there's two little lights on it. They're not flashing; they're just static lights. And it's getting closer and closer and closer, quite slowly. And it's quite low, which I thought was unusual in the first place. But I've gone back to my original thing now, thinking this is a crash and this is a rescue operation or something is happening, you know. And then this object, this helicopter, as I think of it then, either shines a light on it, or it's the other way around. This object shines a light at the helicopter. I'm not actually sure. There was a light between the two of them anyway. It was a strange type of light that I find difficult to describe. But as soon as that happened, the helicopter disappeared. The sound of the helicopter disappeared. And I'm thinking, what the hell is going on? This is obviously not a crash. So I continue watching then, and all of a sudden I can hear the same thing start all over again. The helicopter is back north a few miles up the coast, inland again, and it starts, here it comes again. And it did this about nine times. It would get to the object, that light would flash, it would vanish, and so would the sound, and it would start all over again. It was absolutely nuts. So it's obviously not a crash now, and I've got that, you know, it's not a crash. So the other object now in the sky over the Llanelli has got what seemed a little bit closer again, and I can now see there's a blue tinge around it, like a gassy tinge, greeny gassy tinge, but it's not really doing anything. And then another object starts coming in from the sea, which like an emerald colour. I didn't really get a great sight of that until, because I wasn't looking in that direction until it got fairly close. Yeah. So that was coming in again directly towards the object that had landed. And that basically came in. As soon as they got close together, the helicopter vanished, and that never came back again. And the sound again, that vanished. The green object seemed to wrap itself or did something with a light around this object that had landed and took it out to sea. Stayed at that level all the way out. It was absolutely mad. And while I'm watching that, the white light over Llanelli vanished right before my eyes. Boom, gone. So you can imagine the sort of things that go through your head. Well, it's not a crash, and I think I'm seeing a UFO. Yeah, these flashes though, I'm watching and I'm wondering all the time. Like, this is such a big event. The whole street, you know, I lived on top of the hill. There was about 10 houses going down the hill. I'm thinking everyone is bound to be able to see this. And on the opposite coastline, they're also bound to be able to see this. At one point, I ran down to the bottom of my house and grabbed I had a brand new camera that I'd only had literally for a couple of days. And I hadn't even set it up. I'd put batteries in the thing, and that was about it. I'd taken the lens cap off and left it in the box because I bought it for some product pictures. I sell things on the internet and I needed a camera, but I hadn't learned any of the features at this point, which is a crying shame. And I also had a very large set of binoculars that I had because I was on the coast and I wanted obviously to see the view. So I'm watching this whole thing going on. At one point I grabbed my daughter and I took her upstairs to get my wife out the shower so I could get another witness to what I was seeing. But my wife has no interest in this, absolutely no interest at all, and in fact thinks I'm stupid for being involved in it, you know, this topic. And she, you know, she doesn't want to know. But she looked out through the binoculars because I forced her to. And she was saying that is strange because it was flashing these huge flashes of lights. I mean, you literally had to take your eyes away from the binoculars out of the camera when these things would happen because they were so bright. That would actually hurt your eyes. So this is all now ended. This thing has gone out to sea. Everything else has disappeared. And I'm thinking, right, it's got to be on the news. I'll sit down, I'll watch the news, I'll put the radio on, somebody is bound to have reported this, and there's absolutely nothing. So I think, well, I got to report it then, because, you know, if, I don't know whether it was still a crash at this point. You know, I was highly skeptical that it was a crash, but I thought I'm gonna have to phone the police just in case there was some sort of major incident that needed to be reported. So I phoned the police. You feel really stupid phoning the police about something like this, to be quite honest with you. But I phoned the police and I put myself through that, and they were very interested by it. But they said, no, nobody else has reported a thing. And I said, well, could it be a police helicopter? Could that have been a police helicopter? Am I mistaking it for a Chinook? You know, no, there's nothing in the area at all being reported, so we wouldn't be out there. So that was a dead end with the police. Like I say, I watched the news. There was nothing on the news. There was nothing on the radio. So I got a complete dead end on the first night. I didn't really get anywhere. The next day, I thought, well, I've got to do something else. I've got to phone around and see whether or not I've just been stupid and I've, you know, misconstrued something and that I'm not mistaking this. So I phoned up the local Coast Guard in Swansea, and they said no, there was no exercises. But they said the Cornish Coast Guard sometimes do exercises in our area. So, you know, give them a ring. So I did that as well. And again, I'm putting myself through this humiliation of phoning these people and saying, I saw this strange stuff, you know, but I did it. I put myself through it. No, again, there was nothing, no exercises, no helicopters in the area, no boats in the area, nothing. I phoned up the local airport, Swansea Airport, even though I knew that they shut at 5 o'clock. And so it was highly unlikely there was anything going on with them. But I thought, well, they got a radar. If there was somebody there, maybe something there, maybe they saw something, you know. But no, they saw nothing, and they did shut at 5, and there was nothing to do with them. I phoned up on the opposite coastline next to Buryport. We've got RAF Pembury. So I thought, well, I'll phone them. They're an ideal candidate for if it was anything, maybe it was them. No, strangely enough, they were 5 o'clock shutters as well. Didn't know anything about it and sounded a bit peed off that I'd even bothered phoning them about it. So I was getting absolutely nowhere with this. I took myself down the road to see if I could see some neighbours. It was a weekday, so that would have been the Friday. So most of my neighbours were out, but I did see a guy in the garden who was, I don't know what he was doing in his garden, but I called him over and said, look, you know, did you happen to see this? No, didn't see a thing. And I'm like, how can anyone have not seen what I saw? You know, these flashes of light were ridiculously bright. The whole of the area should have been able to see it. But no, he hadn't seen anything. I think it was a lady that I saw as well who was coming out either coming in or going out. And I showed her as well. I just had my camera with me and I showed her the pictures on there and I described it again, and they were just couldn't believe that they'd missed it, you know. So again, I've got nowhere with that side of things. And then it was the next day again, which would have been the Saturday. I've come out of my house and I'm going to cut the grass. And as I'm going to cut the grass, I've got this robot lawnmower and I'm literally taking it across the yard to get to the grass. And as I'm doing that, I see this green emerald craft coming from the east towards my property. My property is like a long barn conversion. So it's coming down towards my house. And then it literally was like a couple of hundred feet above my property. And as it got up to my property, it was like an emerald shape and an emerald color, and it was like shape shifting, like body, looked like body panel movement around it, all shifting around like a jewel. Very, very strange. And there was no sound, and then it moved out into the estuary really quickly. I'm on top of the hill, remember? So it goes out into the center of the estuary, and as soon as it gets to the center of the estuary, it takes an immediate sharp left, crazy sharp left, and shoots out to sea really fast. And I'm just stood there watching this in disbelief that I've just watched this again. And as I'm watching this, there's a big whoosh above my head, literally right above my head. And there's two, what I considered fighter jets. I don't know whether they were American or British, because I didn't see any markings on them, but I could see missiles on the bottom of them. So they were armed. So I can see basically the bottom of the planes. I've literally chucked myself to the floor. I'm actually on top of the lawnmower. Yeah, on the ground, looking up, watching these two things shoot over the top of my head. They were as low as this object was, crazy low. No way should they have been as low as that next to my house. Do you know what I mean? It could have damaged my roof. It was that low. And you can imagine the noise, the two fighter jets going over my head. So these things literally shoot out to sea. So again, I watch the news. There's nothing on the news. There's nothing on the radio. I got no witness. My wife's gone out to town. You know, I think, what is going on? You know, how can anyone have not seen this and reported it? I looked on for weeks afterwards and looking to see if anyone had reported a UFO, you know, or anything strange, and I never saw a thing. So that was that. That was the either the Friday or the Saturday, I can't think now. But the Sunday, we went up to Cwmbran to my... I'm living in Swansea or North Swansea, but every Sunday we used to go up to my wife's parents' home for Sunday lunch and to go, you know, see them basically, because they were elderly then. And on the way up there, we get to the little town of Cwmbran where they lived, and we get by the fire station, and I'm absolutely obsessed now. So any chance to even look out the car window and see something, I'm doing it, you know? So that this red light, and I look out, and as soon as I look out, there's not a cloud in the sky. There's a disc above my car. Right, I've never seen a disc before. This is one of the things, I mean, I've seen things all my life, but I've actually never seen a disc. So it was a really, really strange thing for me to see. So I'm freaking out now. And my wife's had enough of me talking about this UFO thing over the last few days. And my daughter is going mad in the back, crying basically in the back of the car, and the lights turn red. But during this period, there's a load of people crossing the road, and not one of them is looking up. And I'm thinking, how can they not see this disc? You know, and it's just become so frustrating for me that you're thinking I am the only person that can see these things. Yet my wife saw that object, the orange object, through the binoculars. So I know, you know, I'm not going mad. And I know because I took 50, 60 pictures on the night, and I've got all those images still. So I know it all happened, you know, it's not all going on in my head. So, I mean, that was that incident. It was a... I didn't really get anywhere with it. I was thinking, who can I tell? I saw either an article online or maybe a newspaper article that Nick Pope had written. I thought, well, I'll give Nick Pope, I'll send him an email, because I read that he was involved with the Ministry of Defence looking into these things. And I thought, well, I don't know who else to talk to. So I emailed him and I sent him my pictures, and I didn't do anything to the pictures at all. I literally sent them the raw pictures, and he came back and said, thanks for sending these, but I'm no longer involved with the Ministry of Defence. I no longer have access to anything, you know, anything to be able to look at these pictures in detail, but they are intriguing and baffling. And maybe I should talk to Bufora in the UK. So he gave me the details of Bufora, and I contacted them, but I didn't ever hear a thing from Bufora. And I thought, well, what a waste of time. You know, here we go. We've got a landing going on in the UK. I've got pictures, and I've never seen any of the landing with pictures in the UK, but I didn't hear a word from them. And to this day, I've never heard a word from them. A few weeks after this all happened, I'm home and I'm thinking, I knew where this object had landed, and it was on a road that goes to the local farm. He used to have sheep out onto the marshes, the salt marshes, and he would have sheep grazing out there, and like a little track that went out basically onto the marsh. And this thing had landed on there. I knew that because that was my view, my daily view from my office, because I worked from home there. And I worked it out from the lights in the night on the opposite coastline from the pictures that I'd taken. I could see exactly where it had landed. So I thought, well, I'm going to go use the excuse to go and have a look at the local castle where this road was located by the farm. So I said to my wife, let's go. And we hadn't been living there that long, you know. And then I said, let's go and have a look at the castle. But my ulterior motive is obviously because I wanted to see if I could have a chat with the farmer. So we went around the castle, and then we finally made our way to the coffee shop area, as I think it was. And there was a lady there, and I said, who owns the farm? Can I have a chat with him? And strangely enough, the farmer was sat in the cafe in the same room as me. I mean, the coincidence is crazy. And my main reason for wanting to speak to him is because I saw within 2 days of this happening, there were two black vans parked on that track on the exact spot, unmarked black vans on that exact spot where this object had landed. And there was about three or four blokes using metal detectors, or what looked like metal detectors, scanning the area. And I'm thinking, well, I've never seen anyone out at that spot, apart from the farmer. And even then, I've only seen the farmer out on that road about three times in all the time I'd lived at the house. So it was a very strange... I was on the phone and I was in work, and I didn't think to take any pictures of them, which was a bit stupid. I should have gone up. I'd left my camera and my binoculars at the top of the house where I'd been viewing this thing from a couple of nights earlier. So I didn't get any pictures, unfortunately. So I know people are going to say, oh yeah, black vans, men in black and all that, but I'm afraid that did happen. And I told the farmer this anyway when we were chatting, and I said there were two black vans down on your track, and so who were they? And he said he had never let anyone out on that track, and he had no idea what I was talking about, and he said, come with me. And he took me down to the gate where this track was, and I got to the gate, and it's got private property, no entry, and there was a big padlock there and with a bolt, you know, with a padlock, you know, with a chain on there. So there was no way of anyone getting out there. So I've got absolutely no idea to this day who those people were. But I found it incredibly strange that within 48 hours of something like this happening, there were people there investigating that area, and I never saw them again. I lived there for about another year after that. I never saw anyone else out there apart from the farmer. So that was that on that one. I didn't know where to post the story or try and find, you know, other people who might have seen anything. I went on a website called ATS Above Top Secret, and I posted things on there. I posted my pictures, and I told them what happened, and I gave them the postcode even, so that they could see on Google Earth that the location was in the middle of the estuary. You know, it had started off right by my house, but it had ended up shooting to the right and just in the estuary, just in front of my house. But I had idiots coming back to me and saying things like, those are streetlights. And yeah, the pictures are, you know, when they haven't been cut out, you can see streetlights on the opposite coastline. You can see orange streetlights. But right in the middle of the estuary, you can also see the object that I was taking pictures of, which they seem to completely ignore that. So I was taking quite a fair bit of abuse from these trolls and stuff. So I took myself off that website. So that was another dead end. I went to the local garage petrol station not long after as well. And I took the advantage of the fact there was nobody else in there apart from me. And I said to the lady behind the counter, had anyone else ever reported seeing lights, you know, big flashes of lights coming from the salt marshes? And she said, yes, there were some tourists in here a few weeks earlier, she said, who had said they'd seen strange lights out on the marshes. But I didn't think anything of it because nobody else had said a thing. I thought they were mad, you know, so you can imagine my frustration again. I didn't get anywhere with that. And I'm thinking, I can't contact these people because they've disappeared now. You know, they're tourists, they're not locals. There's no way of getting in touch with them. So I didn't get anywhere with that. I did post it on another website. I'm trying to think what it's called. Is it UK UFO or something like that at the time? And I posted my pictures and some people blew them up and they were, you know, these are strange pictures type things, but I didn't get anything for a while. And then strangely enough, I noticed today, because I knew we had this interview, I went on there and I noticed somebody has posted a message saying, and I've kept it and I'll read that now. It says, I think I may have seen the same thing as you. I was out walking one evening, but I can't remember the day. It was definitely in the October, and it wasn't long after dark. Where I live, I can see the Langor Estuary. As I was walking along the road, I saw a very bright, still light in between the houses. So this would have been over the estuary. I kept looking in the same direction as I walked, but by the time I got to the next gap in the houses, this object had gone. I did not see it fly away up into the sky. So I've got one witness, apart from my wife seeing it through the binoculars, having dragged her out the shower. I've got one witness and my two-year-old daughter at that time who saw it, apart from me. But because I'm not a pilot and I'm not a military person or a policeman, it's been very difficult for me to get anyone to take this seriously. Even though I've got pictures, they don't seem to take anyone seriously in this topic. And, you know, unless you are one of those things who are considered somebody who's rational and a good observer, perhaps. I'm not sure what they're looking for in that aspect, but I'm a businessman. I've been very successful, and I don't understand why I wouldn't be taken seriously. I mean, even to be honest with you, other UK UFO researchers, I have difficulty even getting them to look at this. I mean, there's people that write books about landings and things like that, but they've taken absolutely no interest in this story at all. I mean, if this was a one-off for me, then maybe they wouldn't take me serious. But I'm somebody who see these things all the time. I mean, I literally every few weeks I'll see something. Ever since I was a child, I've been seeing things. I would walk through my local woods and I would see little orbs following me around, and they became absolutely normal for me. I became a bit of a loner, to be honest, because it was a bit strange to have these things following me around, and I didn't want anyone else seeing them, you know.
Have you seen a ghost or a UFO, had a premonition that's come true, or experienced something that you simply can't explain? On I Know What Scares You, celebrity guests and listeners share weird, true stories of their own real-life experiences with the paranormal, the inexplicable, and the simply terrifying. Then a crack team of experts, including Skeptoids Brian Dunning, anthropologist Natalie Regan, mentalist Jonathan Pritchard, and Dr. Kiki Sanford, host of This Week in Science, take their best science-based shot at what they think really happened. Was it an optical illusion, your brain playing tricks on you, or truly a mystery? Find out on I Know What Scares You. Subscribe now to I Know What Scares You on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Telepath is a weekly digital newsletter filled with the latest paranormal news, trending topics, and fresh articles from some of the most popular critical thinkers in the community today. Stay informed on your favorite paranormal podcasts and live streaming talk shows. Interact with the Telepath and upload your paranormal story or pics. It could be featured in an upcoming edition. Sign up right now for the free Telepath newsletter at paranormal.radio. That's paranormal.radio.
When I was 15, I saw, I was talking to a friend on Twitter, who's an author. I was telling him about something that happened to me when I was 15. I saw, I found myself basically a few miles from home in a field. I had no idea how I got there. I was in a t-shirt. It was in January. It was freezing cold. There was like a mist all around me, but there was a river right next to me as well. So the mist probably came from that. But I find myself in this field in a t-shirt looking up. And as I'm looking up, I can see, I'm thinking I'm looking at stars. I've no idea why I'm looking at the sky even, but I'm looking up and I'm thinking I'm seeing stars. And all of a sudden, the whole sky moved. And I could discern that it was a wedge-shaped, giant, giant object, miles and miles wide. It was from one end of this council estate that I lived. I could see the end, and then I could see the other end was over the forest on the right. And between that, there was got to be a mile at least this craft was. But I think there might have been three of them. If anyone wants to picture what this looked like, if you can imagine the Phoenix lights, but that shape, but with rows of smaller lights, not big lights that they are on the Phoenix lights. And I think they were inverted. I think there were three of these things. It wasn't just one giant craft. There were actually three of them, so they weren't quite as thick, if you get my drift. So I had no idea what I was doing in that field. I had no memory of the entire day. But as I watched this thing go out of sight, moving away from me quite slowly in the direction of Swansea, I ran home. And as I'm running home, there's nobody outside. I can see that all the lights are still on in the houses. So I'm thinking it's got to be early evening, but I didn't see a single person all the way home. I get home and I'm starting to worry now that I've done something wrong. And what am I doing out without a coat on? And what are my parents going to say? And am I going to be in trouble? So I went round the back of my house. And as a kid, I got used to climbing up the drain pipe when I was naughty and getting in through the bathroom windows. That's exactly what I did. I climbed up the drain pipe, going through the bathroom window, going to bed and went to sleep. And then when I got up in the morning, I was expecting all hell to let loose. So my parents were going to give me, you know, what were you doing yesterday? Where the hell were you last night? You know, I never heard a word. They never said a word. And I didn't say anything because I didn't want to get into trouble. But I've got absolutely no memory. I mean, the implication is that I have had an abduction experience. I understand people are going to think that. But I've got no memory of being on board a craft at all. You know, I've got literally no memory of the whole day. I know that I didn't have my school uniform on. I had a pair of jeans and a t-shirt on. So I must have gone to school that day because I come home and got changed. And I must have come home and got changed and had some food with my parents before going anywhere, wherever I'd been. But I literally to this day have no memory at all of what happened there. I said to my mother about, would it be 9 months ago now, something like that, about this event. And she couldn't believe it. She said, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. You know, you never said anything at the time. And I said, well, I didn't say anything because I was worried you were going to give me hassle over it, you know. And she said, well, there wasn't anything. There was no reason for you to be getting any hassle because we thought you were in bed. You know, she was struggling to remember the day. You know what I mean? The anything happening because I never said anything at the time, and it was just a normal time for them. But for me, it was something I've never forgotten. I'm 53 years old now, and it happened when I was 15. I know the date, 19th of January, 1983, which happened to be the exact same night as the events that were happening down in Swansea, which they called the Night of the Triangles. I saw a wedge-shaped craft, and this was gigantic, miles-wide craft that I saw. These objects they saw in the Swansea area and Bridgend area, I believe they were all triangular-shaped craft. I've seen the descriptions of these on YouTube, on the interviews that SUFON, the Swansea UFO Network, have done, and they don't look anything like, or the descriptions are nothing like what I saw. But it was the same date, or at least within a day. You know, I knew the date because I knew it was just after Christmas. I'd been back. We used to go back on the 7th of January, and I knew it was within a couple of weeks of going back. So that would have made it around the 19th. So, it may have been the 17th. It may have been the 20th, 21st. But, you know, it's a bit of a strange coincidence for me that that event seemed to happen at the same time, more or less, as the events going on in Swansea, there was a lot of different witnesses that have been interviewed. If anyone's interested, they can go on the SUFON YouTube channel and watch the interviews on that. I'm hoping that I've been in contact with SUFON, and the only reason that I haven't done my own interview so far is because of the virus. We put it off because we obviously couldn't take the chance. That was supposed to happen last March, strangely enough. We're a year later, and we're still there. I had some contact from them only yesterday, strangely enough, saying they're still interested in doing the interview. So I'm very happy to proceed with that. But I won't be doing that until, obviously, this virus has been, kicked into touch. So there we go, Nick.
Let's go back to the marshland. The first object that you saw land.
Yeah.
What would you say was the distance away from you?
So, it started off, it was literally next door in the next door neighbour's garden. So 100 metres at the most it started off. So I had a very clear view of this thing that looked like a sun. It was just exactly like a sun. You know, you see people talking about the orange orbs. Well, that's exactly what this was. It was what I would call a giant orange orb, obviously, because it was quite close. But it was about the size of a transit van, a large transit van. No sound at all. Absolutely no sound. And it looked just like a sun. You know, if you look at the sun and you're stupid enough to look at it directly, that's what it looked like. Yeah.
Did the light hurt your eyes?
No, not at all. No, that's the funny thing about that. You would expect the sun, if you looked at the sun, it would hurt your eyes. So that whatever this was, it's not the same sort of technology as the sun, you know.
And you said it changed colour as well.
Yeah, so it as soon as it landed, it went, there was a load of flashing going on for about 10 minutes. Huge different flashes of colours, greens, yellows, reds, white, back to orange. But then it would disappear as those flashes went out. It would disappear in a second or two later, you're thinking, what's going on? What's going on? Boom. Massive, huge flash again, like a crazy flashes of light. Almost like you think it's exploding. Think of it like that. You know? Massive flashes. And then it settled on a turquoisey colour. And I've got pictures of that. I think I might have sent you those, Nick. And it seemed to settle on that colour then for quite a bit. So basically, when everyone sees these orange orbs and they think they're orange orbs, when they land, they're completely different. They turn into something else. So when people talk about the Foo Fighters during the Second World War, and they saw those orange orbs, I think I'm probably looking at the same thing. But underneath that orange, there's something else going on.
And was the actual light illuminating the marshland around it?
No, I couldn't tell if, it could have been like a couple of feet off the ground, because I'm looking down now from the top of the hill where I lived. So it could have been that it wasn't literally landed on the ground, but it was certainly way lower than the street lights on the opposite coastline, and lower than what I could see as the top of where the river would have been. So I think the tide was out, but I'd be honest, I should have looked at the tides. But anyway, it had landed, if it had landed directly on the ground on the road that goes out there. So it wouldn't have been in the water anyway. Yeah, but there was no reflection on if the tide had been in. There was nothing like that. You couldn't see any reflections at all.
And the helicopter's an interesting one. You say it approached 9 times and then went back to the starting position again.
You think about this thing, because it's been quite a few years now. We're about going into the 11th year since this happened, and I've thought about it since. And I think this whole event was this craft was in was having trouble, and there was a rescue operation that went on, and this helicopter was a fake helicopter. It wasn't a real helicopter at all, which is why it was vanishing, and the sound of the helicopter was vanishing, and that was the distraction to make you think that this was a man-made type event going on, and don't pay too much attention. That was the impression I've had. I mean, I've looked at other things where, you know, I talk to people all the time now because you get a bit obsessed about helicopters. And I've had other fake helicopter events since this happened. There was another event where there were 60 Chinook helicopters were involved, which is a crazy amount, and a UFO. You know what I mean? It's like, for me, that's got to be that it's those were fake as well. And there was some sort of holographic projection that these people were seeing. And I think that's exactly what I was seeing. That's why this thing was able to disappear. I mean, I find it amazing that they're able to replicate the sound as well, though. But I know this is the case now because, I mean, I moved away from there. We moved home a few times after that, actually, strangely enough, trying to come back closer to the Cumbrian area because my wife's parents were getting ill. So we were moving closer and closer each year, more or less. But we were living in a barn conversion just up the road from where I am now, strangely enough. And we were in bed, me and my wife, and my daughter's in bed. And we woke up in the early hours of the morning, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, something like that. And the whole house is shaking. We lived in the countryside again, in the middle of nowhere, on our own. And the whole house is shaking. There's lights you can see outside the windows. And you can hear, again, a Chinook literally sounding like it's going to land on my house and crush it. That's how close this thing was. Yeah. So I ran downstairs. My wife said, "Well, put me up. What's going on? What's going on?" You know, so I ran downstairs. I get down to the kitchen where the door is. I open the door. Literally the second I opened the door, all the lights that I could see, I didn't bother turning any lights on because I'd literally run down the stairs. All the lights outside the house that I could see through the windows, the white light, vanished. The sound of the helicopter vanished. And there was nothing there. It was a clear sky, completely peaceful. It was completely weird. That was a second helicopter, and that was a Chinook as well. I know the sound of a Chinook is very distinctive. We get a lot of them in South Wales.
So it's very possible that the helicopter was acting like a decoy.
Yeah, I'm certain that the event down the Gower, that was definitely some sort of decoy event going on. That was a fake helicopter of some type. I've looked into that quite a bit, and you know, I'm starting to see that these objects do seem to be able to mimic anything you're interested in. Strangely enough, I was on Twitter in Octoberish, I think it was last year, and where everyone was talking about triangular craft, and I'm thinking, I've never seen a triangular craft. I only ever see the orange craft, you know, the orange orbs. I always see them traveling in threes normally. I see them every few weeks. So why have I never seen one of these triangular craft everyone's going on about? That night, my dogs get restless, and it's about 3 o'clock in the morning again. And I go outside to take dogs out, thinking they want a toilet. And as soon as I go outside, three triangular craft went straight over the top of my house. Again, where I live now, I live on a farm in the middle of nowhere. And these triangular craft, they were not the same sort of triangular craft that I've never seen triangular craft before. But these triangular craft had like just white lights on the outer edge of it. They didn't have that big light that everyone seems to show when they're talking about the triangular TR-3Bs or whatever they're called. So it was different. But, you know, I'm starting to think, well, those are fake as well, that those were really the orange orbs manifesting what I was thinking about. You know, it's a crazy coincidence otherwise, ridiculous coincidence that I'm thinking about. Why have I never seen them? And that very night I see three of them. It doesn't make any sense to me. So I'm absolutely certain that these, whatever we're encountering, can manipulate what we're thinking and what we perceive. And they've got full control and they can make us see anything, basically. I mean, I'm lucky enough normally that I do see them in there. I think they're natural, what they do actually look like. And I think that is the orange orbs. Sometimes I see them red and white. I've seen white one not long ago, a huge giant white one. And I saw two red giant ones below cloud level about 3 weeks ago. I filmed one of them actually land. And I have actually still got that video, but I did video another one that, and I discussed this with you before, Nick, basically where I did everything right. What everyone says, film it, you know, fully describe it. And it basically, I went to go and watch it and there was nothing on my SD card. And it was the perfect orb. Everyone would have been amazed by it because I was so excited, and I see these things quite a lot, but I was really excited by what I'd filmed. And I was checking the camera. I was so excited to make sure I was doing it all correctly. You know, the cows in the field next to my farm were all mooing like hell. They were all getting agitated, and this thing literally went over the top of my house and was going slow. It gave me time to go and get my camera. I had a color night vision Cyanex camera. You know, I'd got for Christmas so that I could start filming these things again, because I haven't done that since this event in 2010, even though I see them. But I get back inside and the SD card's empty. But a few weeks later, I saw exactly the same object and it landed in a field a little bit too far away. And it was quite late and I'm in my PJs and my dressing gown and I got my camera, but I captured it through the hedge. You could just about see the flashes going off between the hedge, and I've still got that. But you can't really see a lot because of the hedge and the trees. But I did see it again and I did capture it and I did my best for everyone, but I can't help that.
You're not the first one. You're not the first person to have had the same problems. Technology for you. You know, there's always something with these, you know.
I'm not the only one to see these. I mean, my wife and my daughter, we were coming back on Christmas Day, not last Christmas, but the Christmas before. And we'd been out for lunch at my sister-in-law's for lunch, and we got literally within a couple of miles of home. And there are three giant orbs just above the fields next to the road we're driving home on. My daughter says, "What are those?" And you're like, "Whoa, you know, thank God they can see them, you know." And she's at that age now. She's 13 this year. So, you know, she can see them, but they just don't like talking about it. My wife and my daughter for some reason, but, you know, they do see them. So they know I'm not completely nuts. But I didn't stop and take any pictures because they, you know, I should have on that one. It's because we were exhausted. You know what it's like Christmas Day when you've had too much to eat and you want to get home. And my wife and daughter, like I say, are not interested. But I, that was a really interesting event.
For the benefit of our listeners, John has provided us with some photographs. You can view them on the website page, which goes with this episode. And also there's a map there of the location. The black vans are interesting.
Yeah.
Now, if any hobbyists, that's a metal detector, you know, if they want to go onto someone's land to have a bit of a search and a dig around, they have to get permission. And because it's, even if it's a public bridle path or walkway, they need to get permission because it is trespassing. And obviously, if you're digging up someone's field.
The farmer was insistent that he never let anyone out there because he's got sheep out there and lambs out there. He never let anyone out there. He said, I don't really go out there very often. As he even showed me the you know, the chain was all rusted up. And he said, I don't even go out there very often. Look at the state of the chain, you know, so I haven't let anyone out there. So I'm thinking, well, how did they get out there? Who were these people? And obviously you start thinking then, well, what are they out there to detect? We hear of these things where, you know, metals get either as a waste product or something from these craft that gets left behind. We hear of white powders and metals and things like that. I mean, are they there as a cleanup operation, and who are they? I mean, it's really interesting that they were there that quick at the exact spot where I saw this object land. And I know they were black vans, and I know everyone is going to say, yeah, right, you know, men in black and all that rubbish. But I'm afraid they were black vans, and I'm not going to say they're white if they're black, you know. So
always interesting. And yeah, they do turn up at events like this where there's been some form of incident.
Well, there is obviously some sort of team that are tracking these things for them to have known that. I mean, it couldn't have been from what I'd reported, I don't think, you know, because I was just talking to switchboard people. I mean, I'll tell you something. I did, when I phoned the police and I didn't get anywhere with the police, strangely enough, a few weeks later, they phoned me back and said, had I heard any more? Because everyone in the station had been talking about it, but nobody had heard anyone report anything, but they were just interested to hear if I'd found out any more information.
Interesting.
But I hadn't gone anywhere. You know, I told them what I'd done and I'd phoned every bugger, but nobody had given me any information. It was a complete dead end. I got really disillusioned by the whole thing, to be honest with you, after that for a bit, because I couldn't get anywhere, and I thought, I'm not going to ever get anywhere with it, because there doesn't seem to have been any witnesses. I love it that I found this witness today on there. It sounds like it was the same event, because he posted it on the posting that I'd done in all that time ago. You know, I posted it in, he actually came back in 2011. I'm looking at it now. Good God, I've never noticed it. It's the killer that is for me, you know. But it's nice to see that somebody else did actually see something. Like I say, I reported it to Bufora, but they never responded. I did have a guy from ATS. It turned out now, I think he has something to do with SUFON in Swansea. And I did say to him at the time, and they did put it on their website as well as Swansea UFO Network. They did something with it, but I've never met up with the guys. I've never actually met anyone in this this topic. I've had a really busy business. I've been lucky that I've been a successful business for the last 20 odd years, and I've concentrated on that and having kid, you know, having a kid. And
of course, yeah,
you know, you get on with your life, don't you? And I know this annoys a lot of people, but I see these things quite a lot. So it was a special event, that one, but it's not abnormal for me to see things, you know, so I don't pay as much attention as other people might.
Before we finish up, tell us about the lights in the woods, because I've been out running several times and I would see lights.
I don't know what the kids are like these days, but I used to have an air gun and I was a bit of a loner, to be honest with you. But I'd go out, I wouldn't kill anything with my air gun, but an air gun, you know, what boys are like at that age. And I'd go out, so I'd be in the woods. I'd start off, I'd be wandering through the wheat fields. We had all fields around the estate where we lived, and I'd go off wandering and up the reservoir, and I'd see these lights following me. You know, when they were in the daylight, I'd see them, they'd be white, you know, like a white orb, small white orb, about just bigger than a tennis ball sort of size. And they'd be about 50 feet behind me, but they just following me around. It would just bob around and I wouldn't have a clue. Every time I'd go to try and go near them, they'd shoot off. So I just ignored them. Yeah, they were normal for me, but I didn't really hang around with other kids because it was a bit weird, you know? Hmm. But if I go into the woods, they would turn red. They would change color and go red. I don't know whether it was the difference in light inside the woods, but I don't know. But I always found that a bit strange, but they do the same thing. They just follow me around in there. And to be honest with you, they're almost, it was almost more strange if they weren't there than if they were. It's strange though, because I'd never seen them since. That was when I was a kid, up until about the age of 12, I suppose I saw things like that. Basketball size orbs around me that close. They tend to be giant. You know, they're big car size orbs when I do see them. And they seem to travel in threes, which is, I've always found a bit strange. I always said I've never seen any other colour, the big ones, apart from orange. But the last two occasions, ever since I've been saying this, have been red, which is a bit, I don't know why they suddenly change colour, but they have. And I saw a giant white one again, which I reported about 2-3 months ago, probably was now, just in the fields, not very close to my house. And it was literally the size of a hot air balloon. It was in the evening, late evening, dark. You know, there was no hot air balloons around. It's middle of winter. Yeah, I didn't know what that was. I was a bit far away, but I could see that it was certainly not normal.
Excellent. Good stuff. I bet you drive your wife mad, don't you, with this?
I don't talk to her about it anymore because it does drive her mad.
I've been there.
It becomes an obsession. I put it off and I try to blank or doing all this sort of thing, trying to get on with my life, you know. But the last few years, I've just thought, sod it. And I joined Twitter. I'm on there. I've got a lot of good friends on Twitter. It's quite a big community in Wales because Wales is a bit of a hotspot for some reason. So there's an awful lot of people out from Wales for some reason and this general area, you know. You're in Gloucester, Nick, so I think probably in your sort of area, you've probably got a few people on there as well from there.
Well, I mean, Wales has always been a hotspot, isn't it? Since the 70s, you had got Haverford West, all the sightings around there during the early days.
Yeah, it's certainly. I mean, it's only a small place, obviously, but that makes it even stranger because it is so small. Small population. There's only 3.5 million of us, and yet we seem to get far more of sightings than we should be getting for the size of the population and the size of the country. Which suggests that. Maybe there's some sort of base or there's some portal or something going in this area. I mean, again, in Southern Ireland, they get a lot of sightings there as well. So it's literally next to us, you know.
I know back a long time ago, it used to be known as Dyfed Triangle.
Yeah, and there's a lot of cattle mutilations going on there. On average, is about 20 a year sheep mutilations in the Dyfed area every year, which is a bit strange.
Yeah, it's quite high, that.
Yeah, and if there's been a few investigations. If you look in the Welsh press, you can see there's been a few investigations and they've never found anything. But, I mean, it's not just sheep. There's been deer mutilations. You know, it's a very strange one. I mean, I don't know what to make of the mutilation side of things. I've had no personal experience of anything like that. And I live on a farm, you know.
I know there was one quite recent. I think it was up in Shropshire.
Oh, really?
That was a sheep up on the hill.
I've noticed that Jeremy Corbell seems to have got his teeth into, excuse the pun, mutilations at the moment. So maybe we'll start learning a bit more. Linda Moulton Howe used to lead the way on that side of things, but she's gone to Antarctica now for some reason.
She was she was a bit of a pioneer in the very beginning, especially with Strange Harvest.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, I think she did a great job on that side of things.
She did. I've actually still got the books now, as old as they are.
Yeah.
Fascinating. And yeah, she has gone a bit Antarctica now. I haven't heard too much about that recently.
Yeah, it's gone a bit quiet. I'm not sure.
So who knows about the agents? What were they called? Agent X or something?
That's right. Yeah, it's all speculation, mate. We need the evidence.
Exactly. Yeah, always need the evidence.
Yeah.
That's great, John.
I've enjoyed that, Nick, and I really appreciate the fact that you've got in contact and we've put this together. I really enjoyed it.
No worries. You keep in contact, John, all right?
I will. Okay.
Good stuff. All right, you take care of yourself, John, all right?
And you, mate.
Great talking to you, man. Take care. Bye. That's all for this week. Keep updated and connected with the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you have an encounter you would like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com, or you can reach out to me via the contact page on my website at ufochroniclespodcast.com. Big thank you to John for sharing tonight, and thank you for listening. I will be back next week. Till then, stay safe, keep watching the skies. Goodbye.